The First Resurrection. They who have been accounted worthy of the resurrection of life are blessed and holy. On such the second death hath no power, but those who have not secured pardon through repentance and faith must receive the wages of sin, punishment according to their works, ending in the second death. Since it is impossible for God to save the sinner in his sins, he deprives him of the existence which his transgressions have forfeited and of which he has proved himself unworthy. Yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. They shall be as though they had not been, they sink into hopeless, eternal oblivion. Thus will be made an end of sin. Thou hast destroyed the wicked, thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. John, in the Revelation, hears a universal anthem of praise undisturbed by one note of discord. No lost souls blaspheme God as they writhe in never-ending torment. No wretched beings in hell will mingle their shrieks with the songs of the saved. Upon the error of natural immortality rests the doctrine of consciousness in death. Like eternal torment, it is opposed to Scripture, to reason, and to our feelings of humanity. According to popular belief, the redeemed in heaven are acquainted with all that takes place on earth. But how could it be happiness to the dead to know the troubles of the living, to see them enduring the sorrows, disappointments, and anguish of life? And how revolting the belief that as soon as the breath leaves the body, the soul of the impenitent is consigned to the flames of hell. What say the Scriptures? Man is not conscious in death, his breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish. The living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, their love, and their hatred, and their envy, is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. The grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. In death there is no remembrance of thee, in the grave who shall give thee thanks? Peter on the day of Pentecost declared that David is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. For David is not ascended into the heavens. The fact that David remains in the grave until the resurrection proves that the righteous do not go to heaven at death. Said Paul, if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If for 4,000 years the righteous had gone directly to heaven at death, how could Paul have said that if there is no resurrection, they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished? When about to leave his disciples, Jesus did not tell them that they would soon come to him. I go to prepare a place for you, he said. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and receive you unto myself. Paul tells us further, that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he adds, comfort one another with these words. At the coming of the Lord, the fetters of the tomb shall be broken and the dead in Christ shall be raised to eternal life. All are to be judged according to the things written in the books and rewarded as their works have been. This judgment does not take place at death. He hath appointed a day, in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all. But if the dead already enjoy heaven or writhe in the flames of hell, what need of a future judgment? God's word may be understood by common minds. But what candid mind can see either wisdom or justice in the current theory? Will the righteous receive the commendation, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, when they have been dwelling in his presence for long ages? are the wicked summoned from torment to receive sentence from the judge, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire? The theory of the immortality of the soul was one of those false doctrines that Rome borrowed from paganism. Luther classed it with the monstrous fables that form part of the Roman dunghill of decretals. The Bible teaches that the dead sleep until the resurrection. Blessed rest for the weary righteous. Time, be it long or short, is but a moment to them. They sleep, they are awakened by the trump of God to a glorious immortality. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Called forth from their slumber, they begin to think just where they ceased. The last sensation was the pang of death, the last thought, that they were falling beneath the power of the grave. When they arise from the tomb, their first glad thought will be echoed in the triumphal shout, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?